al mundo la antorcha olímpica se ha transformado en una lección de derechos humanos para la Unión Americana. Beatriz Salas amplía la información.
Decidir sobre quiénes serán los portadores de la antorcha en la ceremonia inaugural de los Juegos Olímpicos de invierno en Pekín es la responsabilidad de China, y Estados Unidos no está en posición de hacer comentarios despectivos. Así respondió Pekín a la reciente interferencia de Washington, quien aseveró que la elección de China del atleta de la etnia Uyghur, Denijir Dilamujian, para llevar la antorcha olímpica es un esfuerzo de Pekín para distraer la atención del llamado genocidio en la región de Xinjiang.
Los llamados comentarios de genocidio de Estados Unidos son la gran mentira del siglo y exponen su intento de politizar los Juegos Olímpicos de invierno y su siniestra intención de utilizar el tema relacionado con Xinjiang para difamar a China.
China asimismo acusó a Estados Unidos de mentir de manera descarada sobre las minorías étnicas, mientras olvida sistemáticamente discriminaciones en su propio suelo.
Estados Unidos llevó a cabo un genocidio contra los nativos americanos en el pasado y ha discriminado sistemáticamente a las minorías raciales a largo plazo. La población de nativos americanos se ha desplomado de 5 millones a finales del siglo XV a unos 250 mil a principios del siglo XX, reduciéndose a una vigésima parte. ¿Qué es el genocidio? Las políticas que Estados Unidos ha impuesto a los nativos americanos son un verdadero genocidio.
Zhao, además de criticar la discriminación racial contra los africanos y asiáticos en Estados Unidos, dijo que elegir a una atleta de la etnia Uyghur muestra que la política de China de promover los deportes de invierno y mejorar la salud de las personas está beneficiando a individuos de todos los grupos étnicos y prueba que no existe discriminación.
Lo que Estados Unidos debería estar haciendo es revisar cuidadosamente sus propios crímenes históricos contra los nativos americanos y tomar medidas concretas para reducir la discriminación racial contra estas personas y otras minorías raciales, como los africanos y asiáticos.
China, en reiteradas ocasiones, ha instado a Estados Unidos a dejar de usar los asuntos vinculados con Xinjiang para difundir mentiras, interferir en los asuntos internos de China o intentar detener el desarrollo del país. Advierte que, de lo contrario, Pekín dará una respuesta más contundente a la luz del desarrollo de la situación. Beatriz Salas con información de Niloufar Shakuri, Hispan TV Noticias.
Migrantes de todos los rincones del mundo duermen bajo su mismo cielo estrellado. Me los encuentro en las calles, en los cines, en los supermercados, y el olor de sus comidas me embriaga de placer. Todos ellos son mis vecinos.
Y yo aquí vivo, bajo sus leyes domésticas, pago impuestos y mis manos producen la riqueza nacional.
Soy parte de esa comunidad que vive, trabaja y sueña con una mañana mejor para nuestras familias.
Casi todos migrantes como yo, casi todos soñadores como yo.
Trabajemos pues en la construcción de otra nación que nos haga dignos.
Seamos los arquitectos de nuestro sueño colectivo.
Esta radio no tiene comerciales porque tú nos apoyas. Si ya has hecho una aportación económica, te damos las gracias. Si no, hazlo ahora en kpfk.org o llama al 818-985-5735.
Así llegamos al final de esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro más profundo agradecimiento a todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
They told me, you know, we'll give you a day, we'll give you a week, however long it takes for you to accept our help to be healed and to become a child of God and denounce being gay.
Honoring the memory of Dr. Anonymous, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
I got three quarters of the way through several times and was like, well, I have no idea how this would end, so I have to start over. But one thing I know is I can't end a story without hope.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Nicaragua's NGO Purge targets its oldest queer group. Gay Taiwanese movie sings out a universal love song and upending the artistic process with Amanda Kayback. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 28, 2021. The government of Nicaragua is aiming to shut down the country's oldest LGBTQ advocacy group. The Interior Ministry has asked the National Assembly to annul the legal nonprofit status of Fundación Xiquetzal and 14 other non-governmental organizations. President.
The shape I'm in, I can't sing, I ain't pretty, and my legs are thin. But don't ask me what I think of you, I might not give the answer that you want me to. Now when I talked to God, I knew he'd understand. He said, stick by me and I'll be your God in hand. But don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to.
Coming up next on the Stream of Free Radio, Bathrop Spears broadsides the April 6, 2023 edition, a long, well, actually not that long, but pretty much a flashback way the way back to 1996, June 21st, 1996. This was shortly after I went to jail in San Francisco for serving free food and soup 3 years before in 1993. I was tried in 1994. We appealed the case for 2 years in order to, and essentially as a political appeal, because it was a real issue and it was a way of generating publicity around the community, both in San Francisco, Santa Cruz, and elsewhere, for folks who are trying to serve Food Not Bombs with a political message. And in a way, we won. In another way, we lost. I went to jail. They had imported a judge who was disinclined to give the defense the kind of rights to which it was entitled in trial, although the judge's conduct was not overruled by the higher courts. So you can always make what you want of this case. But my principal witness was jailed the first day of the trial and was not released until the verdict was given at the end. That was Keith McHenry, who was in the courtroom. And he was not held on any charges eventually. The charges on which he was held were dropped. It was pretty clearly a form of San Francisco court police corruption, in my view. But in any case, this was the scene. I was going to, well, I think I served free food outside the courthouse. I think we were serving free food that day. And also, certainly, there were speakers speaking. I actually don't even know if there was much free food. There probably was some, but I don't remember the details of that, except that it was a large occasion for speechifying, and that's what we did. And then I went into jail. Then several days later, Becky Johnson took over Bathrop Spears Broadside. She was my producer, my partner, and a very strong activist for some time in Santa Cruz, but also for some time thereafter. And she actually, you can still hear her occasionally. You probably heard her. She reports now from where she now lives in Monterey County, what's going on down there with the Union of the Homeless and homeless folks struggling in their vehicles and struggling outside their vehicles and struggling around the Pajaro River and in Monterey, Seaside, and Salinas. She hosted my shows while I was in jail. I did a lot of conversations from jail. Some of them involved inmates who gave their stories as well. Mostly I was focused on the so-called City Hall Sleepers vigil or protest, which was run initially by Dragonheart Dan Hopkins and Shitkicker Sean Alimi, as I call these two activists, both of them unhoused. Sean Alimi also had a food operation of his own called Feed the People, and which was non-vegetarian, so he provided the meaty stuff that Food Not Bombs was institutionally and constitutionally opposed to and not doing. And if you've been listening to my shows in any detail, although perhaps it is a little hard to pick up some of this stuff from 30 years ago, the usual armory closing, because in those days there was a winter armory shelter, had happened. And in response, the homeless community had themselves decided to set up a vigil at City Hall. And that lasted for all of 6 or 7 months, or maybe even 8 months. It started in March, and it went all the way into October. And it was run, as I said, and supported principally by a lot of people in the homeless community and the activist community. A lot of homeless folks came and slept overnight there. Some of the activists insisted they would try to stay awake all night in order to show the idiocy of the sleeping ban, which in those days explicitly banned sleeping between the hours of 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. one judge, Kangaroo Tom Kelly, as some of us called him, nice enough guy and amiable if you talk to him outside the courts, but he towed the line on court activity, supporting the existing power structure, the existing criminalized homeless people at night, give the police the tools to run them out of sight and out of town, which is what the sleeping ban and the camping ordinance actually is all about. Ruled that the sleeping ban was constitutional because, as he put it, well, they can sleep during the day, can't they? Pointed out by others that this was preposterous because sleeping during the day meant you couldn't do anything that you needed to do, such as find work, get housing, get medical attention, engage in ordinary human activity. So it was a tortured and preposterous argument, which Judge Kelly accepted. I think he may have even created it. I don't remember if it came from him directly or if it came from some twisted prosecution mind or a city attorney's imagination. Speakers at this rally, I believe they introduced themselves. One of them was Corey McDonald, also known as Mr. Twister. For those of you who are old Santa Cruzans, you might remember him. He's the fellow who was convicted of a crime, or accused of a crime, or ticketed for a crime, of walking behind people who were being ticketed by the meter maid and putting money in their meter right before the meter maid got there. And the city, so jealous of its nickels and dimes, city administration went after Corey McDonald, Mr. Twister. And he, of course, evoked a lot of positive support, not just among poor people, but among ordinary, average, middle-class citizens and working-class people. And the city council was sort of embarrassed into changing its laws. So I believe it is still no longer illegal to put money in a meter for somebody else. I don't know if it's ever been methodically tried. Of course, the cost of parking has gone up a lot, as have the fines. So, in any case, he dressed in his clown outfit, and he was a big supporter of me in terms of my standing up for the right to serve free food. And we had similar problems in Santa Cruz around the issues of free food, as still is the case if you've been following recent shows. Being that, frankly, the city bosses, if you will, ranging from police to the city manager to the mayor, do not want to see visibly homeless people and poverty in public places. They like to maintain the mythology that everything is okay, it's all being done, there's adequate housing, and if they're not, we're trying as hard as we can, and these folks have only themselves really to blame, or there are some genuinely disabled, but we don't want to encourage folks from other localities to come and prey off the good nature of the wondrous facilities available in Santa Cruz because of our good Samaritanism and our determination to keep Santa Cruz weird. This is, of course, the progressive myth that hangs over Santa Cruz. And it's really part of the tourist myth because it does draw money to Santa Cruz. It's considered kind of bohemian. In any case, there were many speakers at this 1996 rally, which happened in June, and then I went into jail. And this particular broadcast, and we were broadcasting in those days, not just netcasting, was taken over by, generously taken over by Becky Johnson, who continued to talk to me from jail, play the tapes that she recorded off the phone from jail, and there were, well, if you've been listening to the Bathurst Piers broadside shows recently, I've been playing more of these flashbacks from the more or less month-long period when I was in jail. But here it is. My one apology for this Well, actually, I've probably got more than one, but the main concern I have here, or I noticed as I was listening to this, is it very low volume? I think you can hear it, but you have to, if you can, boost it as high as you can on your computer or on your whatever sound system you use to hear it. It's required to do that, otherwise you won't be able to hear it. But listen to it if you can, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, well, once again, come on down to the protest. We're in the 113th day, fighting for your rights, believe it or not. I'm trying to make a stand here, and trying to stop them, this tidal wave of them, human rights, constitutional rights abuse. Got to make a stand somewhere. Sleep is not a crime, and all I want to say is, that this is a noble cause, and whatever you could do to help support, come down, talk to people. We got literature, information, whatever you need to do to make your mind up to donate whatever you can to this cause, this noble cause. Thank you. I am off the air.
Thank you, Mike. And this is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides in Exile. Bathrobes, Pier is, as you know, in the big house up in San Francisco for having served bagels, soup, and I'm told a lovely garden salad to homeless people. And this apparently is a crime. So listen in, 96.3 FM.
We're heading on down to San Francisco to take my good friend here, Robert, to jail and voluntarily for feeding the homeless. While I'm looking out here, I'm saying this is one of the things we have to help protect is the environment and people's rights. Right now, we're working on the people's rights. One of the things I was saying just a minute ago was, every time we look around, they make something else illegal. Now they're starting to make basic charities and human kindness is illegal. Putting a quarter in someone else's meter. Feeding the homeless. Giving a blanket to a cold man. As tomorrow comes up, and children are tomorrow, you've got to look at them and say, no, it is not illegal to be kind. It's not going to cost you an arm and a leg to smile and say hello and give a hungry man a meal. If you want to look around for tomorrow, look at the kids, look how they act. Because that's what we're going to have to deal with when we're old.
This is quite a price you're paying, Robert, for having given bagels and soup to hungry homeless people.
People have been treated a lot worse than I have. People have been beaten up for doing this. I was never beaten up, and hopefully I won't be. Besides, unless you're willing to resist unjust laws, you lose out because eventually your liberties get completely eroded. Of all the women who admire me.
Ah, there's always those silver linings, eh? How about you? You picking up a lot of chicks now that you're the famous twisted one? Mr. Twister's making visuals, so I'll explain them to our audience later.
Yeah.
soon to get off the freeway. Passing the Slovenian Hall.
Underline slow.
Weather conditions seem to be bad out here on the freeway. It's a bird's eye view coming in from right now. We're trying to get over the freeway and the smog. If we can see through it, we'll see where the cars are. Reports will be coming in as soon as we can clear the windshield. Thank you.
That's our weatherman, whether you like it or not. Man with the large red nose, Mr. Twister.
Anything?
Usual. Here's flyers, if anybody wants them.
Many people good,
resting. Oh, yeah.
Has everybody eaten yet, is the question.
We're working on it.
Yeah. All right. We had traffic problems, but one of the problems was we were clowning around on the way up here. I'd like to introduce you to a very famous Santa Cruzan. We just came up from Santa Cruz today. This is Mr. Twister. Mr. Twister was arrested for feeding parking meters in Santa Cruz.
Is that a fire quarter? Go!
Mr. Twister actually was one of the few people I've known who has successfully changed the law. Santa Cruz, within a month of his arrest, had changed their law regarding feeding parking meters. He was a good Samaritan walking along putting in nickels in parking meters. They arrested him, and they got so much bad publicity that within a month, the city council hall met and repealed the parking meter feeder law. So in Santa Cruz, it is legal to put a dime in someone else's meter now, thanks to Mr. Twister. He's actually a very famous celebrity. He's gone all around the world, had engagements everywhere as a consequence of this publicity. Now he wants to extend his reign of crime to bagel crime. That's why he's here today. He's not only
careerist. Desperados won't stop at anything.
He's not only
parking meters.
He's not only a parking meter feeder. He's a bagel juggler, and you may see that later. So, I don't know, do I need this thing? Can you hear me if I talk like this?
Yes!
No.
No. Yes? No. No. All right, we'll do both. Okay, well, usually when I talk about my case, I have some interesting speculation about what's going to happen next. Unfortunately, unless somebody else has heard something new, and I just got here, we've sort of reached the end of the road here for this one, because I'm due, of course, as you know, to enter jail in about an hour for a sentence of 59 days. That means
59 days.
When are you going to parole hearing?
Nuremberg! I don't know. I was offered probation, as those of you who came to the hearing know, but probation means, you know, you get arrested when you come to the next demonstration, so you can't really take probation if you want to continue beating people. It would have been a year at least. So, I didn't take probation. Judge Barkley, the judge who gave me this 59-day sentence, and the judge who refused to hear any modification in this sentence and to make any modification, refused community service, and he also refused me the option of home arrest. And I think there's at least one other person here. She's wearing a black hat. Hey there, Pebbles. Pebbles, that happened to you too. Here's another person who's facing all kinds of time, more time than I would even consider facing. She's facing time for medical marijuana in two upcoming trials. I think we should look at her, listen to her, and to respect what she is doing here.
Same judge?
No, it's different judges. And maybe you could talk as soon as I'm finished about your cases.
Yes, thank you.
Different judge.
Twisted. So, the real question is, why was the judge
an asshole?
So, yes, exactly. Why was he so obstinate as to make a laughingstock of San Francisco and the judicial system here after it's become clear that at least in terms of arrest, Who Nut Bombs in San Francisco is not being arrested. Though I suspect you probably already heard about Whittier. You people have talked about Whittier yet?
No.
Well, perhaps somebody, is anybody from Whittier here today? Or does anybody know about it? Yeah, you're going to talk about Whittier? Okay, there's a man here who's going to talk about Whittier. Whittier today, somebody goes on trial, as I understand it, unless that's been changed. That's right? Yeah, somebody's...
Whittier!
Who is Whittier? I would say I'm definitely Whittier, but luckily, I am not in Whittier, because they're doing the same shit down there that a couple years ago they did up here. Actually, they did it in Santa Cruz 7 years ago. I was on trial 7 years ago for free food in Santa Cruz. And they're doing the same thing, apparently, in Whittier. So this really isn't... It isn't the end of the road. It's not the end of the struggle. It's the beginning of the struggle, or the middle of the struggle. We've got to have to keep on fighting this because, and of course, in San Francisco, as I said the last time I spoke to you, San Francisco is arresting people for sleeping every night. San Francisco is arresting homeless people for simply existing in public spaces. San Francisco's arrests for these crimes has gone up, not down, since the Jordan administration of a year ago. So we need to focus on dissolving the injunction under which I am being arrested. Yes, nobody has been arrested since Jordan left power for this injunction, but Keith McHenry has had his car harassed and ticketed on numerous occasions.
Including today.
Including today.
Whoa. Including today.
Maybe you could talk about that at some point. Food Nut Bombs has had its food confiscated within the last 2 weeks. So it's not over at all. The confiscations have not stopped. The harassment has not stopped. The arrests for sleeping in public, for being in public, have not stopped.
When we first started surveying, the city said that we needed permits. We needed health department officials came out to check our food. They said that we needed use permits for the park. We continued serving despite our threats of arrest. The city backed down. 2.5 years later, the city decided that it was time to press the permit issue once again, and police started going down to Central Park, where Food Not Bomb serves down there, and warning them that if they didn't stop serving, that they would soon be arrested. They kept serving and kept serving. The police would go, kept threatening to arrest, and finally they made tickets, which the police later said were on-site arrests. And so today, and also on the 24th, the people who were ticketed on that day for serving are going to court. So what's been happening is Whittier's been serving across the street from the park at a church, and the police leave them alone. As soon as they step back over into the park, then the police come over and threaten to ticket and arrest again. The police told Whittier Food Not Bombs that they had to apply for a permit, so they did apply for a permit. It was denied because the city council claimed that Food Not Bombs contributes to the homeless problem, and so therefore the permit was not granted. So Whittier Food Not Bombs had a meeting with the people that they eat with, and the people who live in that park decided that it wasn't worth the trouble of getting arrested, and so to continue serving next to the park, and so that's what Whittier Food Not Bombs has been doing. And I haven't heard exactly what happened in court today, but they're also going to court on the 24th. They're facing monetary fines. So they're continuing to serve despite the fact that the Whittier police have been harassing them and denying them permits on the grounds that Food Not Bombs is a contribution to the homeless problem. So
hi, I'm Becky Johnson. I'm here from Santa Cruz, where we are in day 109 in a 24-hour, 7-day week vigil to end the sleeping ban in the city of Santa Cruz. This is a law that makes it illegal for people to sleep between the hours of 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. This is a law that makes it illegal for people to cover up with blankets or bedding between the hours of 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. This is a law that allows the police to come and seek out under the bushes and bridges in Santa Cruz sleeping homeless people and wake them up, take them their time, and remove their blankets and bedding and leave them with 160 $62 ticket. This is a law.
You know, for most officers, this is a fun game. They enjoy their job.
Mr. Twister is here in support of abolishing what these laws that we do not need on our books. These laws are inhuman. These laws are cruel. These laws are just plain stupid.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, you want me to say something beautiful?
Okay.
Let's see. My name's Mr. Twister. I don't need this. Why? Because I got that broadcasting voice. Now, me and myself, I want to be where I can see tomorrow coming. And you know what that means? That means you can't have things like, it's illegal to feed the homeless. It's illegal to cover up. It's illegal to put quarters in people's parking meters. It's illegal to ease the suffering of another individual. Now, these are all the things that are becoming illegal in America, and I hate it. Now, everybody here? You guys know what human kindness is, right?
Yeah.
Right. Do we practice human kindness?
Yeah.
How many of the old human kindnesses that your parents did are now illegal?
Most of them.
Most of them. Yes, we're down to just a very few. Now, if you want to see tomorrow coming, think about it. The kids. Now, if it's illegal to help out a homeless person, if it's illegal to do an act of kindness, if it's illegal to put a quarter in a parking meter, they're not even going to bother to think about human kindness anymore. What are we teaching them? I mean, if we let it go, it's the status quo, we're going to be the ones paying it for the end.
I do mean it, yeah.
Right here.
Okay.
Hey, Robert.
Dave.
Hey, Robert. I hope we're giving you the proper response and proper spirit as you go in there. And we'll be out there. I'll just come down. I'm saying, get in the loop, it's time for soup. No time to frown, it's time to get down to dozens of punk rockers and old-time hippies and folks on the street, up where H Street meets the park. No problems. The cops came around, they said hi, and went on. At the same time, we're serving soup and good Jewish bread in the lower 8th and 60th and Mission 2. And I want to put out the irony that we may say and we do say, come and dine, they call it a crime, but come and eat, it's quite a treat. Food not bombs, bread not bombs, the drums. That's inside that the bear Jordan has been thrown into what the Marx calls the dust from the garbage pail of history. We've been serving freely, and yet this brother today is going to be a guest with a guest of the city and county of San Francisco, and I believe there's a contradiction and an irony, and we should realize he's in there for us, and we're out here for him. So, hey, Robert Norris, come on, keep up the good work. And remember, this better not to be the last that we have to do with Robert Norris. God, he's doing at least 40 days there, and we better make sure that he has food for the body, mind, and spirit. In other words, something good to read, something good to do, and something to look forward to. So let's make sure that we all dedicate ourselves to make sure that we're out while we're out here, finish serving soup, and put down that good Jewish bread, that we don't forget Robert Norris Kahn in there, in jail. Thanks a lot.
That they just get off their fascist high horse and quit trying to make this California into a Nazi-controlled prison garrison state. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with you 100%.
The streets of that people?
Yeah. They were very authoritarian.
They want to roll them back.
So,
announced that there was a protest going on today at 4 o'clock, and I got booed off, and they called me rude, and they argued with me, and they told me to get the fuck out of there. What a peaceful fucking people they are, huh? I just want to say, sisters and brothers, we have to get together. We have to make our movement stronger. We have to tell our friends. We have to be out here. Thank you.
least actually will get the word out to other countries that this kind of thing is actually standard fare in the U.S. And Robert is one of a whole list of political prisoners being jailed here in the United States. And so hopefully Amnesty's support of him and of the homeless and of Putin bombs will be will apply some pressure to this government, which has so far been unwilling to respond to any requests from either them or the UN as to why they are trying to stop people from speaking freely here in San Francisco. Is there any more people that want to speak? Great. Okay, Pebble. Say hello to Dennis Martell, the architect of this grand plan.
Where is he?
Right there.
We're shooting you! Dennis Martell!
He's been responsible for some of the stupidest arrests at demonstration ever seen in San Francisco.
Yes, progressive will be at 279!
Captain Martell!
That's right, Captain Martell!
Captain, what happened? Did he get devoted or something?
How soon?
And there's this side that stands for justice by their actions. And by our deeds, you shall know us, and that is Robespierre Khan and the Judge Horatio versus Robespierre Khan. You know, it's now at a standstill. It appears that they won something, but actually all they did was put on the front pages, you know, of our lives, the sentences they're willing to mete out against people who are standing and working for justice and for goodness in this world. There isn't very much, and it's drowned out easily. You know, I feel that I have also been harassed and followed and persecuted even for what I feel is a very good herb, marijuana, one of the most blessed things that Mother Nature has to offer the world. You know, Food Not Bombs is being persecuted for distributing Mother Nature's bounty, and I am being persecuted for using Mother Nature's bounty, marijuana for medical purposes, and I describe marijuana as spiritual and physical medicine because it's for both enlightenment and attunement with healing energies and with Mother Nature's, you know, higher powers. That when they enter the human being, we can feel ourselves going to more enlightened places. But the police disagree with us, and I have been prosecuted in 4 counties. I have faced 7 busts. And refile that misdemeanor possession charge on me. So I have a trial on that one on August 16th in Richmond. And I actually could use your support at that. It's not so far this time. And if you want to come to Richmond, if you put that on your calendar, August 16th, it would probably prevent a harsher sentence. To Richmond, if you put that on your calendar, August 16th, it would probably prevent a harsher sentence because the people here know what's right and know what side to be on. That is the side of Bass Rock.
This is 96.3 FM Free Radio San Cruz.
To announce before we forget that there's going to be a vigil here every morning as people go into court. And we're looking for people to come here every morning at 8:30, Monday through Friday, to agitate in front of this courthouse and try to reach as many people who are caught up in the San Francisco criminal injustice system as possible. There's going to be a meeting tomorrow night to also plan future actions in support of freeing Robert Norris Khan and ending the harassment of people here in San Francisco who are living outside. And that's going to be a Monday at 7:30, the 24th Street, Monday 24th and Valencia Street tomorrow night to plan more direct actions and
well, it's 25 minutes of freedom left, folks. I have with me the attorney who has tried real hard to bring up the issues that we've been trying to raise here at the appellate court level. The real issues were, of course, ignored at the trial court level, which is a politically concocted court order.
designed to destroy food, not bombs, because two administrations, Mayor Agnos and Mayor Jordan, wanted to conceal and repress the homeless population. But there was some argument done about this, some courageous argument that finally hit the papers. You may have noticed in the last 2 weeks, unfortunately, I'm going to jail here, but nonetheless, some of the stuff has come out in the Examiner and for the first time in the Chronicle, that the issue is not one of permits, but persecution is the issue here.
Yeah.
And I'd like to introduce, lawyer has been covering all this, sometimes pro bono, sometimes getting a pittance, David Beauvais, Berkeley, I call him Bedrock Beauvais. He's also been covering the case of Carol Denny and the slap suit defendants of Berkeley, who have been fighting for People's Park and the right to resist the imperialist activities of the University of California, which wants to drive poor people out of Berkeley. David?
Thanks for the fine introduction, Robert. This is a pretty sad day for me because, I'm a lawyer and I don't like to see my clients go to jail, and most of the time they don't, especially on something like this, which is a case where someone has done something that has conferred a benefit on the public. And in response to that, the authorities want to jail him for 60 days. I mean, isn't this what the Republicans are talking about? We should have volunteerism, private support for people that need help. And this is what Mr. Khan was doing, this is what Robert was doing, this is what Food Not Bombs is doing. And the hypocrisy of this is astounding. Now, as bad as this is, as bad as it seems, I know Robert's a pretty strong guy, and he knows that the kind of work he does exposes him to this kind of retribution, because he keeps pointing out the problems. He keeps pointing out the hypocrisy. And you know what? This case is going to be a kind of turning point, not just for Food Not Bombs, but for other organizations and groups that are pointing out that we need to make some fundamental changes in this society. And we need to start helping the people that need help instead of the big corporations that don't and the military establishment which doesn't need help. And it's time to make these changes, and this is an opportunity to tell the world, yes, they're actually putting somebody in jail for feeding the hungry.
Criminal! They are criminal!
And we're going to continue to take the word and spread it around the country and around the world that this is how we are treating people in America. And already the major media is starting to get interested in the issue. And we're going to encourage that. And I received a call from Amnesty International in London this morning, and they indicated that they are considering very seriously adopting Robert as a prisoner of conscience. And they've already written to Governor Wilson to tell him that they think this is wrong. So let's just keep up the good work. Let's not get too depressed. And I've also been assured by the Sheriff's Department that they will do everything they can to make Robert comfortable during the time that he has to be in. I mean, no, really. I mean, even the Sheriff's Department thinks this is absurd. So, I mean, here you got somebody who's not even a criminal that you're putting in jail. And as long as we keep building jails, we're going to have to figure out reasons to put people in them.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff.
And let's just keep up the good work, and thanks for showing up.
Yeah. Right. Food Not Bombs rally at San Francisco in front of the Halls of Justice on June 17th.
Hello, everybody. My name is Tom. Tom Not Bombs in San Francisco. And I say the word should be, I love my mind in San Francisco, because I have this theory, and you tell me if you don't agree with me, that if you stay in San Francisco long enough, you will lose your mind. I've noticed that with almost everybody I know. Now, I want to say, I think there's two kinds of ways people lose their mind in San Francisco. There's the one type that's the most common type that most people here don't have, I'm glad to say, and that's serious asciitis. You see some of the people around here with serious asciitis. It's an epidemic kind of thing where almost everywhere you go, you run into these type of people. Then you have the other side, the ridiculosis. Now, this is the kind of disease I have, and some of you might feel sometimes too. And today, I finally realized why this is so. Because if you feel ridiculous in this system, you almost feel ridiculous about feeling ridiculous.
weekend. The police came there and told everybody they couldn't be there. It was against the law for them to be there for some reason. If somebody drunk down the beach or something, and they all had to go. If they didn't go, they would be cited for something. I'm not sure what. So there that. Now we have Robert going to jail for serving free food. And we have so many other instances of the system intruding in the most ridiculous fashion into our lives that we almost feel ridiculous being activists. We feel like there should be something more deep or something. So if you feel ridiculous like I do, keep up the good work. Thanks very much.
I understand they may be thinking now about declaring Robert Norris a prisoner of conscience. We know he is. Robert Norris is now a political prisoner. We should take this time to remember all political prisoners like Mumia Abu-Jamal, Geronimo Pratt, Fred Hampton Jr., Leo Pinocchio, who else?
Rod Coronado.
Rod Coronado. Antiana Akhori. These are all political prisoners booked in jail in this country because they're working for positive social change. I was one of the people arrested with the 279 of us who were protesting Mumia Abu-Jamal, the imprisonment and frame up just almost exactly a year ago today. About 50 of us are suing the SFPD for those illegal arrests. We were supposed to go to court, this small claims court, a month ago, but the cops got a stay for a month. I just got a letter yesterday saying that they're requesting another stay because they don't know how to respond to this, you know, putting 279 people in jail for a peaceful demonstration. We're suing them. We're going to win. We got a chant over in East Bay that I've been wanting to do because I think it's kind of cool and it kind of sums up what Robert Norris is going to jail for here. It goes like this. Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be.
Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be.
You don't
need a permit to have free food.
Let's give a big hand to Robert Norris and his work and all the
way to the future. Watch your back, Robert.
Raise your hand. Come on, all of you. Who's ever lifted a ladle?
Watch your back in jail at all times. And if no one has said that to you, I'm going to say it to you as a friend, because I have friends who have gone into jail and gotten hurt in there. You know, so be really careful. Watch your back. Don't trust anyone. Don't, you know, until you get out. Hey, 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 hey. A sorry day.
Thank you.
And now that we're on the subject of political prisoners, I'd like to remind people that some almost a political prisoners, whether in jail or not. Think about the media when I'm actually saying I bought it. This is cannon fodder for the
Yeah, they're in trouble now.
Yeah.
I hope so.
You want to speak about Berkeley?
Other people. I'm going to leave it to other people to speak about Berkeley.
Okay.
And, the worst. I don't think there's any other place here in the country that had so many people arrested for the Mumia marches, as it were here, correct me if I'm wrong. Then there was this other insane arrest last March the 3rd, which he engineered. In fact, 130 people got arrested while they're on the street or on the sidewalk. No one is ostensibly for walking in the street, but jaywalking, but a lot of people on the sidewalk got arrested too. So this is what's going on here in San Francisco. It doesn't matter who the mayor is, whether it's Brown, Frank, or whoever. It's the big money industry, the real
matter who's missile involved, it's not the way.
There you go. That's what's happening.
This.
Support. If somebody have, and I'm writing your numbers on my wrist, because I don't think I'm going to let me take any paper into the jail. I guess the number to call, Keith, hey, McHenry, can they call your number and ask what's going on? How's it going to be on the hotline? In the 800 number, will it be on the 800 number? Does anybody know?
last words for you?
No signs, no nothing.
Okay. Actually, the building is closed, so unless you have business, if you're going
to... Yeah, there's no business to conduct here. This gentleman does have business, so he's entitled to go up there. Say goodbye to your friends, and let's keep it peaceful. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would be worthwhile to play a scene here. Let's just go up.
You know why? Keep going. Keep it up. Only if you can get past these guys some food. The bad folks take over the world.
All right.
Keep feeding.
See this building about 2 months. It's amazing. You never know what it's like till later, I guess, and you remember what you're missing.
Service.
You're a little surprised to see.
How you guys doing?
I come to surrender.
Okay. When you come on in, when that door opens.
Okay.
Okay, guys. Give me a call anytime.
Okay.
All right. Same here.
Even 4:30 in the morning.
Not 5:30.
Different rules when you're inside.
Yes.
We were back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So even 4:30.
They won't let him at a phone at 4:30, right?
No, they do. They have a phone in every cell. So. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks for coming, everybody.
You're listening to Robert has just gone to jail. That final slam was the door shutting for him to begin his 59-day sentence at County Jail 8 in San Francisco. Now we're riding the elevator.
Great.
The two cameramen.
He got in without a press pass.
Oh, they know it's all stuff.
I've been in this part too long.
Bunks. F-Pod is a
kind of open area where you don't have any bars on at least the cells downstairs. It's sort of the pod areas. They're sort of just enclosures. And you have four bunks to a cell or to a pod. And then you have little teeny, like 3-inch or 2-inch by 3-foot windows. You can look out on the freeway and see the cars going by. And then you have these tables that have four seats built into them, and they all have a chess or checkerboard on them. People play chess and checkers on them. There are several TVs inset into the wall, and above all this rises up this area where a deputy watches, several deputies usually, the goings-on in the pod. It's based on the theories of third-in-command Markham, who's a penologist, who's actually a felon. He killed his father in the 60s. He went to jail for it for 7 years or something. His father apparently was abusive, and it was a manslaughter charge. I saw a video which had him featured on it yesterday, which they showed all prisoners who are coming in. And he explained that the jails, the primary problem is that the prisoners run the jail, and in terms of the most violent and the most abusive and the most out of control, the most crazy are the ones that have the most power in most prisons, because much of the time, prisons, when the guards aren't there, or when they're locked down for the night, the prisoners are all left with each other. And this is supposed to be an exception to that, where you have guards who are there 24 hours a day, and it's really an attempt to not so much, they are punishing you, you know. I mean, it's mm-hmm. true, it is punishment. It's not really rehabilitation, but there are some classes, mostly for getting your high school diploma, dealing with substance abuse, dealing with anger management, things of that sort. And the theory is that with the guards looking on, and they aren't armed, they're just wearing walkie-talkies, and they walk around, and they tell people, they do issue lots of orders as to what folks should do, but it's generally pretty open. You can go to the bathroom anytime you want. You do have to return to your little pod frequently in order to begin to clean up this and clean up that. And of course, the food is jail food. People know what jail food is. It's bologna, salami, and turkey. And
so the vegetarians just starve, huh?
Well, no. Actually, I have a vegetarian meal status here. You can get that. And what that means is, instead of bologna, you get processed cheese.
Oh, joy.
You know, and the coffee is chicory. It's not real coffee. It's, they budget. They're saving money on everything, no doubt, including the salaries of the guards. So,
The $20,000 to $30,000 a year each that California spends per inmate doesn't trickle down to coffee.
You don't get coffee. No, we do get a little kind of carton of non-fat milk in the morning, and then at lunch at night. And you essentially you get a box lunch at lunch, and for dinner time you get a it's very small portions. Most people don't get much food.
That's what I've been hearing, not only up in San Francisco, but here in Santa Cruz County, that inmates are reporting that they don't get enough food to eat, that they're in a state of semi-starvation.
That's true. I don't know if semi-starvation, because, people are always hungry, and food is a very valuable commodity. In other jails nearby, like in San Bruno, and possibly in the jail, right next door, the old jail on the 7th floor of the Hall of Justice, is called County Jail 8, that I'm in, as I was saying before. It's the new jail, called the Glamour Slammer by some. In the old jail, it actually, cigarettes are such a highly prized commodity, it costs $150 for a pack.
Wow.
Split into thirds, I think it's $3 for each third of a cigarette. Matches cost $1 if you want to do that. And of course, you can get any kind of drugs you want inside some of the jails. I haven't seen any drugs in here. I may get desperate as time's going. Except for sugar. Sugar is the major drug in here that people use. It's, you get a commissary once a week, which means you can spend money up to a certain amount to get overpriced candy bars and snacks and sweets. And that
top ramen at 60 cents a pop?
75. 70, I'm not quite sure. It costs. And if you're indigent, I think you also get free toothbrushes. And
wow.
Toothpaste.
And let's see why that cost is so high, that $20,000 to $30,000.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, they have to, it's quality. That's what they put it with their quality, that's their middle name.
So, Robert, what happened on when you first walked in the door there at the jail, at the Hall of Justice on Monday? What was the first?
I mean, when I left you and attorneys Larry and David and the two cameramen who were walking with us?
Right.
Oh, they put me in a long, lonely holding cell for a while, and they took off. Actually, they didn't put me in handcuffs until later. They put me in handcuffs when moving me from the jail at the Hall of Justice over here to the county jail, and that was because we had an officious deputy here who's actually he's still rather officious. But he's trying to. I think he senses that there's some media stuff happening here. He's going to be trying to not get in anybody's way or create any negative images. I was told to wait. I was brought up, and a couple of people mentioned Food Not Bombs in a favorable way, some of the deputies. And then I was taken into the back where I was suited out in these kind of orange clothing. And my teddy bear was wrenched from me.
Wrenched from you? Oh, no.
Taken from me. Actually, I voluntarily gave up the duena. And my bathrobe was removed from me. So the cartoon in the Santa Cruz Metro done by Cinzo showing me towering against the bars and my bathrobe and teddy bear is not quite accurate.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't really present a photographic, picture-perfect record of what's going on here up in San Francisco.
Also seems to present you as being a rather diminutive figure.
Right. Well, there are guys who are bigger than me, not so much in this cell. I'm bigger than most of the people in this pod, I should say, this F-pod. But in other cells reported there are some big guys. Yeah, there's some guys around who are big. And it's not really how big you are, it's how crazy you are. I've seen a little of that here, but not a lot. I've seen a little of the kind of the crazy, look at how crazy I can be, showing off for other people, look how violent I can be. But not much, because it's kind of, the deputies are constantly reminding you that if you do this, you'll get extra time, and if you don't do this, you won't. And it's kind of a Skinnerian reinforcement thing. They try to reinforce, they tell people, how good you are, that you cleaned up your cell, or you cleaned up your area. You all work together, you get extra cake.
Extra cake, yeah. So, Robert, could you tell the Free Radio listeners about what's going on in San Francisco with Food Not Bombs?
Well, of course, I'm inside, but I am able to make a lot of phone calls out. At least my dimes are now running out, but until then, I've been able to do so. And the latest thing is, of course, Food Not Bombs, after really giving me quite a send-off rally in San Francisco, supporting me as I went inside. The deputies refused to allow them inside the building, even though the building was open, and I allowed my attorney to talk me into tolerating this instead of just sitting down and getting arrested on the steps, which perhaps would have been a better idea. But Food Not Bombs has been holding a daily vigil in the morning, which they're serving food to commemorate and to demand my release, commemorate my being in jail and to demand my release from jail. And the Amnesty International is still, I think it's not quite formally adopted me as a prisoner of conscience. They've given a final letter to Governor Wilson saying, release him or he becomes a prisoner of conscience. But I'm not aware that the status has become a final prisoner of conscience status yet. It has with another organization called Food First, sort of a splinter group to Amnesty International, which also considers economic rights as important as political rights, but I don't know all the details about that. Food Not Bombs, however, has been arrested for the first time in probably about a year. Keith McHenry, a Food Not Bombs activist who I've often interviewed on the show, was arrested on Tuesday morning for ladling oatmeal to people outside the Hall of Justice between 8:30 and 9:30. He was arrested under the injunction that I was arrested under, which is still active in San Francisco. It bars Food Not Bombs from serving food within the city and county of San Francisco without appropriate permits, which of course cannot be obtained because the permit process was removed in 1990.
Didn't Helen Ann say something to Keith McHenry at the end of the last sentence modification hearing?
According to Keith, Helen Ann said something like, "Are you going to go get the permits now, Keith?" Indicating
indicating that he could?
Indicating perhaps that he could. Well, see, did that have to do with the fact that Helen Ann had offered a kind of a weakened, limited series of permits for a different location the Food Not Bombs was rejected? He'd offered permits for 2 days a week, kind of off in the bushes by the library, when Food Not Bombs said, we want permits, you know, for every day we serve, and want them at UN Plaza, where we've been serving for the last year. And McCallan and his city wasn't able to...
This is an interview with Robert Norris-Kahn from County Jail 8 in San Francisco. This is 96.3 FM, free radio.
It could have been as innocent as, well, we can help you try to get permits now that this seems to be coming down, or, see, I warned you this would happen, and you better go get permits, because this is what's coming, this is what's in the cards, meaning... In essence, that he had a sort of an ambivalent stature, status. He was going to just possibly go after Food Not Bombs people, or at least not stand in the way of it happening. It's not clear what he meant by that. I haven't talked to him, so I don't want to second guess him. I do know that McHenry was in jail. He was released. He went to court the next day, and the charges were dropped.
Oh, really?
Charges under the injunction were dropped, so he will be. He may have already. They have already served today. I haven't yet got any information whether they were arrested or not. I'm going to call the hotline soon to find out.
Could you give that number for the hotline for our listeners?
Sure. The number to call if you want to contact the Food Not Bombs hotline. And, again, their messages are usually a week late, so don't expect a lot of up-to-date news. But you can put a message on the line. You can get general information about Food Not Bombs in San Francisco. It's 415-985-7087. Of course, the Food Not Bombs number in Santa Cruz...
7087?
7087, yeah. Food Not Bombs number in Santa Cruz, if you want to help cook, serve, prepare, clean, give out literature, is 425-3345, or feed the people, 425-3333. That's feed. And those are both good numbers to call, because I anticipate there's going to be an attack on those organizations sooner or later with the new developments downtown that make it more and more difficult to find a place to feed people where they can legally sit down. The Friendship Corner area of Cathcart Pacific will soon be a no-sitting zone. The area in front of, the area across from Woolworths, I think, was saved from that. They were going to put a change-making machine in, but I don't think they did. They have one change machine going in. It's illegal to sit 50 feet from a change machine in Santa Cruz, thanks to bookshop owner Neil Coonerty, Scott Kennedy, Mike Rodkin. All the great liberals of town have gotten together to make sure that streets are safe for tourists and shoppers.
Robert, I'm not sure that you have spoken on the air about the Neil Coonerty letter.
I don't know if I have or not. I mentioned it to you in a letter that I hope will be printed in Metro Santa Cruz or distributed as a flyer. Neil Coonerty wrote a letter to my judge, Judge Robert Barclay, which Barclay improperly opened and read. Coonerty's letter attacked me, accused me of vandalism, accused me of leading people throwing rocks through his window and such, or inspiring that. This was back in 1994 when he was a well-known figure on the city council who supported these anti-homeless laws. And some people indeed threw rocks through his window, I think on two occasions, through one of his bookshop Santa Cruz windows, which I didn't condone, which I don't think is an effective tactic, and which I didn't do.
And you were never charged with...
I never charged. I didn't advise people to do it. I mean, Coonerty was simply having a shit fit and looking for someone to blame, which he, I think, occasionally does. He has a monumental temper, which I think other people can attest to. He also blamed Kim Argula, who's no longer in town, Candlelight Kim, as I call her, and we considered suing him for slander, but, you know, hey, this is you're a public figure in the situation, so charges are considered to be, you know, fair game. So Coonerty wrote this letter, which Judge Barclay should not have opened. He should have looked at the first line and then put it aside. Instead, he read the whole letter, and he claimed that he hadn't been influenced by it. And then he rejected the idea of the sentence modification, which had been proposed by all sides, defense and prosecution, and sent me to where I am now.
Robert, I was under the impression that that letter also requested the judge to give you the maximum sentence allowed under law. Was that your recollection?
No, I don't remember whether that was the case or not. I was told that that was the case. You told me that Larry Hildes had that recollection, and we're trying to get a copy of that letter, which is now under judicial seal. But again, we have very, very limited legal resources, and so it's more likely it'll all be out of jail on July 27th, which, by the way, is my out date, for anyone who's interested, before any of that happens.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Okay. You getting any good bagels in there?
I have not had a bagel since I came in here. Frankly, I'm getting rather cranky. My bathrobe is in some storage area somewhere, and I have no bagels. So I really encourage people to go out there and demand that I be allowed my bagels, my teddy bear, and my bathrobe. I mean, if without those, what is life worth?
Okay, Robert, I've been, when I talked to Keith McHenry, he suggested that the more letters that you get, the better. That's one of the things that...
I agree, and so far I've received only one letter, but for those who want to write me, I do have an address, which is relatively straightforward. Actually, it's rather lengthy, but you can get it by calling my phone number in case you don't get it now on the air. My phone number is 423-HUFF, the Huff line, which is still operational. I believe that that number, that address, has been placed on that line. But the address is... Robert Norris Kahn at
AHN for
prisoner number 1472209 at San Francisco County Jail number 8.
It can be shortened to CJH.
Correct. 425 7th Street.
Wait a minute, it's F pod. You forgot the F pod.
Right, F pod 41B, which is my bunk number, and San Francisco 425 7th.
Yeah, I should give this, Robert.
California 94103. And you can give it again too if you'd like, since you're going to be broadcasting this on the air. And if you didn't get it, you know, through that rather contorted description, just call 423-HUFF and you can get it again. It's a local call for Santa Cruz people.
By the way, he did totally screw up that address if you were writing it down. So listen in. I'll give it a little later. Bagels.
I don't think the bagels are going to get in. They have a very limited policy. But you should definitely lift a bagel in my honor, and particularly take some bagels down to the City Hall sleepers protest, because they are really under the gun right now. I mean, I'm serving this stupid sentence, but they're facing many charges. Pat Ring, Sandpaper Sandy, Sandra Roth.
They're both in jail as we speak.
They're both in jail, and they're in jail for preposterous things. They were jailed initially for Pat for holding up a sign, Sandy for falling asleep, and they faced 6 months in jail for that. And now when they went to court and they're treated abusively by a bailiff, they're set upon as they leave the court, assaulted, in Pat's case, pepper sprayed, and taken out of jail on multiple charges. I mean, it's... not a good situation, not one that Santa Cruzans should tolerate, not one that Rutkin should be allowed to preside over in a benign, smiling manner, as he is going to continue to do.
You know, Robert, I was there yesterday when the arrests occurred.
You're going to be talking about that in some detail, I assume.
And it was my impression that, that both Patrick and Sandy were assaulted by the police, if not the other, and the Sentinel kind of
ran
the other way around.
I hope you go into that detail, but I don't want to do it right now on the phone, because I think that really takes some time, and I want you to do that possibly with another witness. Maybe you can bring in someone who already have someone in the studio as you play this tape who can really elucidate that issue more fully, or if you don't, please talk about it.
We will be doing that a little later on here. This is 96.3 FM.
Smiling manner,
Free Radio Center.
You
know, Robert, I was there yesterday when the arrests occurred. Now, a little update here. Patrick Ring and Sandrea Roth were bailed out yesterday afternoon. It was quite costly, and that's sometimes the price being paid. So keep those donations coming in. We need to pay for lawyers and time.
You've got to go there and support them. I'm hoping that we're going to start a sleep out at Willie Brown's house here in San Francisco. By we, I mean folks outside, in support of freeing me, in support of ending the injunction in San Francisco against serving free food, in support of ending the Matrix arrest of people sleeping outside, in support of the ending to anti-homeless laws in other cities, such as Santa Cruz, where you are in the midst of a very important struggle. You actually have a few attorneys who are trying to help you. And who knows, over there's even talk of an injunction in federal court. Anything, any news on that?
The City Hall sleepers protest, the attorneys are working, and
very disgusted with how we've been treated by the courts so far in Santa Cruz, and very seriously considering going up the ladder, so to speak. And because basically what happened in court yesterday was that all of the declarations that Anthony Condotti from the city attorney presented were stricken for being in proper form. The person, the major declaration was given by a person who had no personal knowledge and was just reading from police reports.
I hope you will be, you know, going into that in greater detail as well. I can't really discuss it with you because I don't have any really access to that information, but I hope that you go over it in some detail and talk about the false charges.
Even though that the city did not prove their case in any way, shape, or form, they basically are still in the catbird seat as far as the injunction.
You know, Stevens is a company player, you know, he's an organization man. He was one of the people, I believe, who upheld the food injunction. I could be wrong. Back in 1989, when Santa Cruz made it illegal to serve free food to the homeless and then began arresting people by the dozens, and eventually convicted two of them and sent them to jail for 22 days. I've got the honor of serving longer, but...
So, Robert, what's on your agenda today?
On my agenda today is I am reading a history of women in America.
All right.
I'm finishing a letter to you.
Right.
And I'm also going to be sleeping for about 2 weeks.
In solidarity with the City Hall sleepers protest.
Exactly. I'm boning up for when I get out. I also probably be in touch with local people in San Francisco to see how things are going and what I can do. There's not a lot you can do in jail. You can write.
Okay, and one other thing that our listeners can do if... is they can get collect phone calls from you.
Oh yes, at some preposterous cost. You should.
So if they're willing, or able.
Yeah.
And the answering machines don't work, but call the Huff line at 423-4833, and leave your name and your phone number and give permission for Robert to call you from his jail cell.
It will cost you $100 a call, and that money. City Hall sleepers. No, just kidding, folks. It is expensive. I don't know how much it costs.
I've been getting phone calls from jail quite frequently, from both locally and out of state even, and it's running about $7 for a 15-minute phone call.
Kind of expensive.
It is kind of expensive.
So this phone call is running like $28, is what we're saying here. So I hope you appreciate this interview, because future interviews I think we're going to do via Richard Edmondson. Will be a local call to me. He'll make the tape and he'll send it down to you.
Well,
the best way to do that.
Try to get more resourceful.
Yeah.
Robert, thank you so much for this jailhouse report. And
listen, if you want to support me, support the City Hall sleepers protest. Write a letter to the Sentinel denouncing abuses by the mayor in terms of this unconstitutional injunction that is currently being leveled against the protesters, and also demand an end to the sleeping provisions of the camping ban, which make it illegal for people to sleep outside, which affect 500 to 1,500 homeless people in Santa Cruz. I've been saying this for a year on the radio show. It now needs to be said by the people who are listening to the radio show in letters, on talk shows, in public, and maybe we'll get some changes.
Hey, thanks a lot.
That is the reality that's going throughout the whole third world.
Okay, this is 96.3 FM, and now you're listening to the voice of Jim Costner at the Revolutionary Coalition Forum, which took place last night at Loudoun Nelson Center.
Costner
speaking. Deal with the truth, because if you don't deal with the truth, you'll never have a chance to be a free people. That truth that 40,000 children a day die around this world for the lack of a $1.47 food and
I apologize for the poor sound quality in some of this. I'm trying to work out some of these audio bugs. Not very successfully, apparently.
Collected in one day that reaches the dumpster, the garbage can. If that food was distributed throughout the world, not one human being would die of starvation. That's a fact. And people in America spend more money on golf daily. If that's money, I'm serious, no, it's a fact.
Oh,
if you check out how much money spent on things like golf in this country, if that money was given to the people throughout the world who are starving, you forces has gone. And I want to know, when are people going to stand up against the oppression, against the system? Because if we don't do that, then we're all slaves. And the people in the world are suffering because of that. Next, I'd like to introduce Becky Johnson, who will also introduce Dan Hopkins, and also Sean Almeida is here. That brother that went over there has spent 3 weeks in jail for the crime of sleeping in Santa Cruz. Robert Norris today is in jail in a cage, and he is spending 2 months in jail for feeding people who are hungry food. That is the reality going on in America. Becky Johnson has been an incredible supporter of the homeless struggle that's been going on for a long time. But the people there, including Dan Hopkins, who initiated the process, have been there for over 100 days. 100 days in and out, they have protested. They have demanded that the sleeping ban be abolished, and yet people are still being threatened, prosecuted, put in jail. Why get sleeping bags stolen from them? People have spent lots of time in jail. A couple people just recently beaten up. So here you have homeless people who are only asking the right to sleep. They deserve a lot more than that. And there you have the system coming down upon them. That has got to stop. Was that Becky Johnson?
Johnson, and it's 112 days at City Hall at the noon today. And it's been quite an interesting time. The topic of my speech tonight was to have been the true cause of homelessness, in which I was going to go through and explain to you how we're penny wise and dollar foolish and how we're spending our funds on homelessness. But instead, I thought that I would talk about some of the more recent events and bring all of you up to speed about some of the shenanigans that have been going on in our beautiful little town in liberal Santa Cruz, in a place where we cultivate compassion, we cultivate tolerance. Santa Cruz is a town of 50,000 people, but for some peculiar reason, what happens here winds up being heard all over the world, and what we do here makes a difference all over the world, and what's going on at City Hall has the potential of making a difference in the lives of the homeless people everywhere. It's been a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week protest at City Hall. It started out with many signs and banners and passing out leaflets and everything. These have been steadily seized and cut down and legislated and removed. And as the city, in its lack of patience, in its feeling that there's only so much First Amendment to go around, in its self-gratification that, oh, we spend more on homeless in per capita in the city of Santa Cruz than any other country or any other city in the country, it's enough to make one reel. $8 million per capita per year is what the latest figure that we had from Mayor Mike Rutkin's mouth. For this, we have 8 months of the year, we have sleeping spaces for 60 people. In the city limits alone, we have approximately 1,000 homeless people. That's, 940 who must dodge the police and the troll busters nightly. The troll busters. And, a troll buster is a sort of a self-appointed thug who goes around in bushes and under bridges and beats up homeless people for fun.
It goes down in this community. It does.
Yep.
It happens.
For years it's been going down.
Well, in recent weeks we have heard many reports of increased activities with troll busters. and including a group of young, about 20-year-old group that are going along the riverbanks with billy clubs and beating homeless people when they find them sleeping, where they're trying to hide from the police who should be protecting them.
That's right.
But instead, they're having to hide from the police.
That's right.
On Monday, I took Robert Norris Kahn to jail. He had been convicted of having served homeless people and hungry people at Civic Center Plaza in San Francisco bagels, soup, and, I'm told, a lovely garden salad. For this, he was arrested, taken to jail, released, went back to Civic Center Plaza in San Francisco and did it again, was rearrested, released, and went on a jury trial. Now, what Ed was talking about a little earlier about what goes on in the court, let me tell you some of the specifics about what happened at Robert's jury trial. First off, the key witness was a man named Keith McHenry. Keith McHenry, by the way, is a direct descendant of James McHenry. James McHenry was the Secretary of War under George Washington. His signature is the second to the last on the Constitution of the United States. His great-grandson founded Food Not Bombs in San Francisco. Keith McHenry was to have been the chief witness at Robert Norris Kahn's trial. But the police arrested him the first day of Robert's trial. And they held him on trial the entire time, and when the trial was over, they released Keith. And then they dropped the charges. And then they said, oops, it was a mistake. Sorry. Meanwhile, at the trial, the jury was precluded from hearing anything, any evidence about homelessness, any evidence about the existence of hunger in the city of San Francisco. They were only told, was there an injunction in place? Did Robert know there was an injunction in place? Did Robert violate that injunction? That's all you need to know. And the jury ruled, and they sentenced him to 2 months in county jail. Now, I cannot possibly explain what happened next. When the district attorney of San Francisco, a man named Karen Callanan, came down, he's the prosecutor in the case, and was sitting at the prosecutor's table, and every time, and he came down, not once, not twice, but three times on three separate occasions, and spoke at Robert's trial. He could have sent one of his little flunky underling DA guys down, but he didn't. And each time he stood up and said, Your Honor, the city moves that the sentence be dropped to time served. We do not favor incarcerating people for giving away bagels and soup. And Judge Barkley decided he needed to think 3 weeks about this. This was Judge Robert Barkley, who was mysteriously brought in from Barkley after 3 weeks, decided, no, the law is the law. And so Robert went to jail on Monday. I suppose some of you have seen the cartoon in the Metro that came out yesterday. When I saw this, now I was very anxious about Robert going into prison or jail, or I've heard many, many stories, many of them from people calling me directly from jail. They told me that in jail, that it's about 75% Latino, a very high percentage of black people, and only 10% white. And it's all poor people.
Yeah.
The jails are full of poor people. They're crowded. They're too hot. They're too cold. Televisions are on night and day, blaring and sometimes in languages you don't understand. There's a lot of anger. There's not enough food. This is crime. This is happening in the Santa Cruz City Jail. This is happening in San Francisco Jail as we speak. They are not feeding the people in jail sufficient food to eat on. I'm sure Sean could graphically tell you. They will sell you a jar of ramen for 75 cents. The jails are expensive. This is getting into some of the costs that we were talking about earlier. It costs between $20,000 and $30,000 to keep one prisoner in jail in California for 1 year. I did a little calculating earlier when we were hearing about about his case, that if we use the 25, the very fair-minded 25,000 a year figure, and we figured he only had the minimum sentence of 6 years, that's $150,000. Are you $150,000 outraged that he fell asleep with a loaded firearm in his pocket? Is that when you're concerned about crime and that we need to have you feel safe? Do you feel that $150,000 safer knowing that their beloved family member is going to be sitting in this horrid place, packed in like sardines, treated as those less than human? This is no kind of justice. This is not anything that any of us should stand for. On Wednesday, we went to the courthouse with Judge Stevens' court. And when I say we, I mean the defendants in the City Hall Sleepers protest who are challenging an injunction. An injunction that the Santa Cruz City Council ramrodded or maneuvered or rolled.
This is 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. And this was a speech given at the Revolutionary Coalition Forum last night, hosted by Jim Costner. And we're going to hear some more of that.
We're heading on down to San Francisco to take my good friend here, Rob.
Okay, that's not the tape. We already heard that. That was Mr. Twister. As Mr. Twister, myself, Robert, as we headed up Highway 1 last Monday, June 17th, to take Robert in. And that was not a happy day, I can tell you. And I was very gratified to have Corey McDonald along for that trip, and we really appreciate his understanding that laws against putting a quarter in a meter and as an act of kindness to I can't think of anyone who wouldn't be gratified if their meter had run out and someone put a quarter in so they wouldn't get a $12 ticket. If you'd like more information about what's going on with the City Hall Sleepers protest, please call the Common Threads Coalition at 421-9250.
Pretty much because they asked for it, not because they were able to prove any allegations of any health or safety hazards at City Hall.
About the City Hall injunction?
On Wednesday, admitted that the whole reason for the injunction was so the City Council could shut down the protest. They're tired of hearing Dan Hopkins saying People are being arrested at night for sleeping. People are having their blankets stolen by police at night. People who their most precious possession is a sleeping bag are having it yanked out of their hands at 4 a.m. by your public servants with your tax dollars, aiding and abetting and encouragement and indeed the direct orders of your city council members, your progressive, liberal, compassionate city council members who, a hate flyer appeared on a van out on West Cliff Drive. You know what was on that hate flyer? It was the city council ordinance, the one that currently exists, the one that criminalizes homeless people every night. That's what Robert's in jail for. Robert is in jail because he passionately believes it should not be illegal to feed someone. It should not be illegal to sleep. It should not be legal to take away someone's blanket.
That's right.
It should be not legal to stop a person from being able to speak.
That's right.
We have to draw the line somewhere. And each of us has to find whatever way we can contribute to stopping this tide of insanity, stopping this unbelievable expense in the unbelievable wrong direction. We have to stop it. And I heartily recommend that we start down at City Hall, that all of you go down to City Hall at any time of the day or night. Bring your 14-inch, no larger, handheld sign. Bring your petition. Bring your pencil. Bring your paper. Bring your video camera. Bring your tape recorder. Bring your sleeping bag. Bring your alarm clock. Bring your cup of coffee and thermos full. Come down and let the world know that human rights mean something to us here in Santa Cruz, and even though it was coming from our progressive liberal city council, we don't care. We know a human right when we see it being stamped on, and we're not going to let it happen here. I'd like to introduce Dan Hopkins. Dan.
I'm sure we can get it soon. There you go.
That was quite an introduction. But anyway, my name is Dan Hopkins, and I've been at the protest for 112 days now. Sean over there, me and Sean and one other person who never did show up to the protest, ironically, we all talked with each other around a campfire in a campground, and like we talked till about 2 o'clock in the morning with a bunch of other homeless people, and we were the only three that was willing to actually do something. And we want to protest the sleeping ban because it's illegal to sleep in Santa Cruz. It's illegal to have a blanket around yourself, and so, you know, and so on. But anyway, we've been protesting the sleeping ban. I think I better move this out of the way.
I hope you can still hear me. And please remember, we had our blankets are being marked in 75 degree weather.
We've received 260 camping tickets at $162 a piece, and we've had like about 150 people that's come through that protest. I have a little problem. I sometimes go blank because I have sleep deprivation for about 112 days right now. So bear with me. When they take our blankets, they also laugh as they're taking them. And one time a person asked, "Why are you taking my blankets?" And the police officer was laughing and said, "Because I can." You know, they have a law that allows them to take those sleeping bags. And if you get caught twice sleeping in 48 hours, they handcuff you and put you in jail. And it's punishable by 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. We've gone through an awful lot, you know. Cops used to, when we first got there, they were coming as many as three times a night. We'd get like an hour and 45 minutes sleep in between the cop visits. And they were jumping over fences at the city hall to arrest us, catch us sleeping, you know, sneak up from behind us while, you know, behind walls and everything else, you know. And it was like a drug bust or something. And they were coming six at a time. They'd taken our signs, they'd taken our food, they'd taken our literature, and they've taken our blankets without giving us receipts. They've done all kinds of things, and we just, you know, we don't know what to think of it. We think it's inhuman, you know. And like one of the things that I always remember when I was a child was my grandfather. He was like one of the, I'm going to switch it over here. He's one of the kindest persons I ever knew in my whole life, you know, and up until this date. And what he used to do, he was a farmer, and I lived with him for 3 years as a child. And what he used to do was, he would stand out on his back porch, and there was a railroad track that went in front of his house there on the farm. And he used to sit there and just stare down the railroad track, looking both ways, you know. And what he did was, is he would wait for what they called hobos in those days. Now they call them homeless people, but in those days they're called hobos, you know. And actually, people kind of liked him because they knew a lot of little things that other people didn't know, you know. And so my grandfather used to look out there and he'd see one of the hobos coming down the track, and he would say, "Hey, come here," you know. And we'd bring him in and give him a glass of wine and cook a big spaghetti meal for him, you know, with big old meatballs and things like that, you know. And he'd be smiling all the time that he was, you know, serving this person. And when I think back on that, you know, if my grandfather was alive today and he was to see what these politicians were doing and what these policemen were doing, you know, remembering that he was one of the kindest persons I ever knew in my life, I know that he would go and get his shotgun and he would go down the city council and he would do something, you know. I know that, you know. The reason I bring up this little thing about this thing is that there was a supporter.
I guess we're lucky Dan Hopkins' grandfather's a goner.
This woman had chronic fatigue syndrome. And from what I understand, she could only get up for about a half an hour a day and actually do something. And she took her life two Fridays ago. And because she couldn't get medicine for herself, knew it was going to be too costly to get the medicine that she needed and everything. And I guess she was in a lot of pain and things. And she took her own life. But what she used to do was, she would come to the protest at 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, with the only half an hour that she had during the day. And she would come down there, and she would bring us coffee and tea when it was like, you know, really, really cold in the morning, nearly freezing. And she would come down and bring us coffee and tea and donuts. And, you know, these are the people that I feel really mean something. You know, they really are doing something for people. They're doing things for humanity. You know, she was an activist for, I guess, 20 years. And anyway, for those of you that know her, her name was Morgan Firestar. She had a radio program on pirate radio on 96.3. And, yeah, there you go. And by the way, if you want to listen to a good radio station, tune in to 96.3 anytime, 24 hours a day. And the police, you know, and the politicians, the problem that we're having in getting the word out to the community is that the newspapers won't tell the entire truth, you know, to our public. And so the police lie, the politicians lie, and we're still sitting there trying to get human rights for people just to sleep, just to be able to cover themselves up. And it's pretty sad, you know, when things get this bad. Yesterday I was in the courtroom, and it was just supposed to be, you know, pretty much just finding out about this injunction that they have against us at the city hall. They're trying to stop us completely. And the judge said, well, he says, I don't think they'll want to give them their blankets back. They have about 80 of our blankets and sleeping bags. And he says, I don't think they'll want to give them back to you. We're going to let the police keep them. And then he said that he wouldn't stop them from taking our blankets in the future either. So they're still continuing this, you know, really bad behavior, inhuman behavior. And anyway, when I was in the court, I noticed that I looked off to my right and the bailiff sitting over there, and I noticed that he kept staring at me. And a man named Patrick Lynn was sitting right next to me. And I kept looking over at this bailiff who was down there on the end of the road there, and he just kept staring and staring. He had this awful stare, like he was ready to